Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Black Expat. My name is Carl, and I'm excited to bring you guys yet another episode. So today, I have a very special guest sitting with me here, a black male that I went to college with, that I did a little bit of traveling with as well, that I have nothing but amazing things to say. So before I get into all that about my feelings about him, which I have a lot of, I'll let him introduce himself. Mm-hmm. So go right ahead, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Mike Pace. Southside Chicago native, and I'm blessed to be here with Carl to have a conversation about my travel experiences.
Thank you. So Mike was a member of the Posse Foundation about a year or two after me. Yep. For you guys who don't know, the Posse Foundation Leadership Scholarship is a full tuition scholarship that allowed us to actually meet at DePaul University. Mike is very humble in his introduction, but he's very well known all over the city of Chicago, Wisconsin, Madison, Taiwan, apparently. Like, he's a very popular, well-known guy. But I didn't bring you guys here to talk, bring him here to talk about how popular he is. We can do that all day. But instead, I want to talk about travel because, again, this is the Black Expat Podcast. So, Mike, first off, what are your thoughts on international travel, and why do you think that it's important for people of color, specifically black men, to travel internationally?
Good questions. I think, first off, it can be expensive or, you know, maybe outside of certain budget constraints for some people. So this is under the assumption that you have the time and you have the capital to do so. I think travel is important because, at least for me, it's very eye-opening. Like, growing up in Chicago, never been international until several years after undergrad, it was important for me to get some exposure to different cultures, different ways of living, different people, different food. So I think it helped me, like, broaden my perspective. And to be honest, once I, like, took a couple trips to Toronto, to different places in Mexico, then Ireland, I just kept it going, and I wanted to see other places, travel with different friends. And I think it's really important for black men, especially growing up in certain environments, to, like, really broaden the way you see the world. And I think for me, it gives me different perspective. It makes me want to get to know people that I come across, whether it's in a classroom or in a workplace, who are from different areas of the world, to really try and get to know them and hear about their stories and, like, make those connections, tying it to my personal travel experiences.
Cool, thank you. And as a person who has traveled a lot, and you obviously have your own perspective on travel and your thoughts behind it. So you also have some friends or acquaintances or people that you know that are also black men that don't travel a lot. Mm-hmm. So can you talk a little bit about why that may be the case for them outside of finances? Mm-hmm. And have you ever tried to encourage anyone to travel? And what kind of obstacles have you been met with in regards to getting them to travel along with you?
I think the first part of the question, why outside of financial constraints, is probably that fear of uncertainty, like stepping outside of a particular region, whether it's East Coast, Midwest, to go overseas and, like, get exposure to, like, different countries over there. If you've never been, it could be scary because the only thing you're really exposed to is maybe what you see and hear in media, television, what have you, in the movies and so forth. So it could be intimidating, especially that being your first time or not having, like, particular people to go with you abroad. So I think that can limit some people outside of the realms of capital constraints.
Okay, thank you. And so you've had...
I'm sorry, to be honest, like, when Toronto... So I went to Toronto, I think that may have been my first international trip. And it was cool. It seemed like fucking, like, a city in the States. Like, public transport, like, it just seems very familiar. So it didn't make me really necessarily step outside of my comfort zone, which is also another issue that... we can deal with too, in addition to dealing with uncertainty. But when I went to Ireland, although I was with a group of 15, everything was planned from flight to lodging to activities, there was still a sense of, like, nervousness and never really being that far away from home, even though it was about maybe 5 or 6 days. So I think that also limits some people as well, because I went over there, I was like, oh, this Ireland, I've never really been in the plane that long. So it's just like, Once you do it one time, then I think that opens it up. But I think the biggest step is doing it that first time and becoming comfortable with being away from home and seeing different things.
Okay, cool. So I kind of want to take a step back for a second. So mm-hmm. how many places have you actually traveled to internationally? And I want to include the United States because it may mm-hmm. be a lot. But internationally, like how many places have you been to?
I would say between 9 and maybe 11.
And out of those 9 to 11 places, which place has been the most memorable? Not necessarily a memorable place you've been to, but the mm-hmm. most memorable experience and something that actually taught you something that you didn't think that you would learn or experience from being there.
Thailand. let me think. That's a good question. You know what? This is I would say Ireland, and I think it was kind of special for me because, A, it was expensive as hell. But I think for me, it was not just about the location, but also the timing in my life. So that was like shortly after I quit my job after working in like corporate America for several years to go back and pursue my MBA. But it was also with a bunch of people I didn't know except for maybe a couple of people. So it was like a group of strangers right before school, right after I quit my job, and really my first like international trip outside of North America. So I think that like in and of itself made it special, but also being over there in Galway and Dublin, trying the different foods, watching like a medieval play, just doing shit that I'm not doing back at home at the crib. So I think like I would say that was the most memorable because not only the locations were dope, but like building out a network of friends that I didn't know going over there, and we still like do little lunches and pre-games and all of that now, and like the timing in my life that it occurred. So I would say probably Ireland was the most memorable. I have some other memorables too, but we could circle back around to those.
So for you, what was it like being a black man in Ireland? Were there any moments where you just stopped and you were able to look around and say, man, like I am actually Mike Pace, Southside Chicago, black guy, posse, all this, but man, I really stand out as a black man in Ireland? Or was that not the case from your experience there?
So I could talk about Ireland, and if I forget, remind me to talk about Cuba. Mm-hmm. So Ireland, it was clear, like Ireland wasn't no black people like that, except for the people. There was a couple people in my group, like who are black as well, but like outside of that, not much. I remember one particular, I don't want to say an incident, but like a situation. I'm at the bar drinking Guinness because that's what you do in Ireland. So some dude, like he was drunk, he walked up to me, he's talking. He's like, yeah, you're from America, whatever, whatever. What part? New York. People always assume I'm from New York abroad. I don't know why. That may be just the first thing. I'm Chicago. I like New York. No disrespect, but like I'm Chicago till I die. But we got to talking, and then he's like, oh, do you work out something? He's like, yeah, you look like Mike Tyson. And then I was like, okay, cool. You know, Mike Tyson, he was in the gym. He's knocking folks out doing his thing. But I look nothing like Mike Tyson, like from skin tone to build, so forth. But I think to him, seeing, like, and I work out a little bit, you know, a few times a week, 4 to be exact. So, like, I think for him, he saw a black person with, like, kind of a build of, like swole, and he automatically thought Mike Tyson. He's like, boom, you Mike Tyson. Was it racist? That's arguable. Not going to necessarily go into that. That's a different conversation. But, like, and I wasn't offended. It was like, wow, I've never been called Mike Tyson before. I would have never been called Mike Tyson in Chicago or in the States. But, like, that experience among a few others, like, that kind of let me know where I was at. Mm-hmm. Like, the folks they see on TV, the images they see with black people. And that's another thing, like, the images they will see from whether it's sports, entertainment, athletics, whatever, reality television, like this is what people abroad see from like American culture, specifically black culture, or even specifically black male culture. That's what they kind of know. They don't necessarily expect to see a financial services professional pursuing an MBA, black male, who just happens so to lift weights. Like, that's not the image that they come to. Then you have on the other end, like Cuba, low-key Cuba, like, to me, they black. Like, you know what I'm saying? You go down there, they black folks that speak Spanish. That's how I felt. Like, I felt like they were the homies. Like, I'm down there, they beatboxing, they rapping, they freestyling. Like, they were kind of nice with it, so I didn't jump in because I didn't have bars that particular day. But catch me, you know, maybe next week or something, I can mess with them. But the point I'm trying to make, like, I like kind of mixed in with that circle with a few other people I was with. They were black. We kind of just started talking to them. They're like, oh, yeah, where y'all from? New York? I was like, no, I'm not from New York again.
New York again.
I'm still from Chicago, same, you know, place I was been from. But it was just that instant connection that, like black people just got something special, to be honest. Like, we see each other. It's just a certain vibes that we give off. And I felt that between, like, the Cuban natives that I ran into in the freestyle session and a couple other instances out there that, you know, they were rocking with me. They thought I was Cuban, to be honest, until they heard me speak and they like, nah, he from New York. I'm like, nah, I'm from Chicago. But it was just good vibes. But yeah, so I think like my experience with being a black male travel, sometimes it's like they see me and they have conversations with me and they're like, oh, fit in, whatever. Then other times, I'm not saying that I don't fit in, but it's like, oh, you look like LeBron James. I'm like, now you scratching me.
Yeah, because he's definitely 6'8", about 285. I don't think you're 6'8",
yeah,
or 285.
Nah,
so, which of the experiences you have or had kind of, what's the word I'm looking for, will resonate with you more? An experience where you actually enter another brown or black culture and civilization, and then you have a similar experience that you have like when you're in Cuba, mm-hmm. or does that not matter, so to speak? So, because I know one of the things you talked about was mm-hmm. your time in Ireland. In Ireland was very memorable, was unforgettable mm-hmm. because a lot of things you had going on. But like just thinking about the culture and the people, which one of those, like Cuba, Ireland, or anything else, will be with you for a longer period of time, in your opinion?
Well, all of them gonna stick with me, to be honest. But I think off the top of my head, I would say my experience in Morocco did spring break in March with a large ass group of classmates. It was like 45 deep, like we shit. Like we went to Marrakesh, Essaouira. Like we spent the night in the desert. Like it was crazy. But I think for me, it was like my first and only time trying to go like to different countries within Africa, but that was my first time over in Africa. And I came in with like this certain bias, like that it was going to be particular foods and particular people and so forth. But once I got there, it was like primarily like Middle Eastern cuisines and like these different things. Like the people look different than what I anticipated. But that was also because of the location of Morocco relative to like other countries within Africa. So I really start to learn a bit more. And that was part of me being ignorant. And that's another thing about travel. Like once you start to travel and like you start to interact these different cultures, you go on like guided tours and so forth, you really get to learn about the people and like the way they do things over there. So I think that will probably remain with me the most because it was my first time to the motherland, but I want to go a bit farther south, a bit farther east next time I'm on that continent.
So this next question is kind of a two-part question. So mm-hmm. first, if you could go back and do it all over again, mm-hmm. where would be the first place that you would want to travel to, anywhere in the world? And then secondly, you know, after you answer that part, mm-hmm. What place would you advise a first-time black male traveler to travel to, his very first time out of the country?
I'll take the first one. First time out of the country, go to Thailand. It's lit over there. No, I would say, let me think about this one. Because off the top of my head, I would say Morocco, just off the strength of like it's in Africa. Mm-hmm. And I know people who've been to like South Africa and like other like areas. But I think out of my list of destinations, I would say Morocco. Like it's it was great place, great food. I would strongly suggest if you do it, like try and like see the coast, go to the desert, and maybe have a guided tour to like actually put you onto the history of the country, and like specifically in Marrakesh, like one of the most populous cities there. I would definitely recommend that within like the trips that I've been to. And I think another part of that too is you may feel more, like as a black person or a black male traveling to like the list of places, like you may feel the most comfortable there, and that could kind of ease you in, I guess, to more to places where you may not feel as comfortable and stand out a bit more. But because you've done Morocco, you've been so far away from home that you're comfortable with going to different places, going places in Europe, going places in Australia, Asia, and so forth. So I think it not only serves as a great cultural experience, but also like, I guess, a gateway to more more destinations that you may not like have been, that may not have been on your radar.
You know, it's very interesting. It's very interesting that you say that, because actually my first time out of the country was to Egypt, which is kind of close to Morocco, not deathly close, but close enough. Mm-hmm. And I think similar to you, when I was in Egypt, like I had this expectation. I didn't have much because it was my first time out of the country. Mm-hmm. I went with DePaul for wintertime with like 20 other people, with my posse, and Naja was there. Mm-hmm. A bunch of people were there. So I felt comfortable in the fact that I was going with the program and my school and my professors that I knew. But I did have my idea of Egypt was based on things like the Prince of Egypt. Mm-hmm. And everybody looked brown. Everybody also spoke English in the Prince of Egypt. And again, that kind of goes back to that tout with ignorance that you brought up earlier, like mm-hmm. not really understanding this, so you actually get out and travel. I mean, I thought people would actually speak English and then different African dialects, mm-hmm. right? But when I actually got there, people spoke Arabic and they're brown. And again, a lot of Middle Eastern cuisine. So, and that's not to say that
shawarma be flame. Shawarma flame.
Truth be told, I actually got food poisoning, me and Anaja, from eating a shawarma on the streets of Egypt. I definitely wouldn't recommend eating them on the street. Definitely eat them inside of a restaurant. Dysentery is a real thing.
I got food poison in Morocco, but I don't remember. I don't know where it was from. But
oh no, I remember where mine was from. I got food poisoning in Morocco. I have a very sensitive stomach. I was in the hostel. I heard the man down there coughing while he was making our breakfast. Old school crowd have been like, nah, I'm not even going to rock with that. You know, I felt a little cocky. I ate it. I ended up having a dysentery in the car for about 2 days, driving 13 hours in the desert and riding on a camel. Yep, it was terrible.
At least I was home.
Yeah.
I was at the crib with the BGs.
I rode 3 camels that day, and I slept in the desert with 1 toilet. Jeez. But anyway, sorry, enough about getting dysentery. Like, this is not to discourage anybody from visiting Egypt or Morocco. Other than that, they were amazing. I just want to get back to the fact that, it was very different than what I expected in regards to the people. Now, the actual landmarks, the pyramids, the Sphinx, amazing. Definitely worth going to see. I went to Morocco and then went to Marrakesh, the Sahara Desert tours. Amazing. Definitely worth seeing. Mm-hmm. But I think I just wanted to kind of bring that up. That definitely does go back to that ignorance factor that we do have because we don't really travel. And a lot of information that we get is from TV. So then once I do go out and travel to a new place, I understand when someone says, oh, you look like Mike Tyson, or oh, you look like Steph Curry. I never got that. Oh, Carl, you look like Dave Chappelle. And I'm like, man, he ugly. You calling me ugly? Like, I get offended by that. But I've gotten that a few times. I've also gotten to look like Will Smith. And I don't know why, but I was okay with that when he got big ears. But anyway, so I kind of want to get back to, if you could do it all over again, what's the one place that you would want to start your travels in? Because I know you said Morocco, and that was for a black male first-time traveler.
Right. So like part two of the question, or part one, I answered part two before part one. Yeah. It's like a countdown, 2-1-0. So part one, low-key, like Taiwan. Like, so we were able to hit like Taiwan and Thailand like in a short amount of time. Which I'm grateful for. Like, shout out to cptravels.com. Hooked it up. You know what I'm saying? No promo. No, you know, shameless plug, whatever. But, like, Taiwan was so dope. The food was great. I felt like I didn't eat all the food that I wanted to eat. So, I want to go back for the food. But also, like, the social scene, the nightlife, all of that. Like, we had some exposure to it. But it was towards the end of the trip. And I mean, basically, when I went there, I was in a situation where I can rock out in Taiwan, because if I were there the whole week, then my answer could be like another destination. But because I wasn't there a whole week, we took time to go see Thailand, which I think was a great move. But I wouldn't be opposed to going to Taiwan again. I would actually like to go there again, eat some more food, shrimp pancakes, popping. Everything was popping. So I would say Taiwan. I would definitely like to go back and do that one again.
Okay, thank you. And again, I did not, you know, coerce him or tell him to say Taiwan. I know you guys know I've been to Taiwan for a long period of time. But I do think as a first place to travel to, and I think for me, it's a great first place to live because mm-hmm. it is safe, it's inexpensive, it's very, very accommodating. Safe, yeah. People speak a lot of English, more English than you think. There is a dope party scene that isn't too expensive and you feel comfortable going out and doing those things. Mm-hmm. But also on the flip side of being in Taiwan, I also know that it's very hard for a black person because it ain't no fried chicken, ain't no barbecue. It ain't no that many black people in general. And being there for a week or 2 weeks or even a month may be okay, but for an extended period of time for like years can kind of, you know, dwell on you a little bit, especially if you're trying to date or if you're trying to travel or things like that. So thank you for that. So I know we talked a lot about your travels, things that you've been able to do, experiences you've been able to have. Mm-hmm. So how have you been able to travel so frequently into as many places as you have while still in your 20s?
I dance on the... Nah. I think for me, so taking a step back, like right out of undergrad, like I was on the paper chase, like gotta get money. I'm on my mind missing a few trips with the guys, whatever the case may be. So I started like really saving money, knocked off undergraduate student loans so I can like have a sense of financial freedom that I never really had, nor did my parents. So that was like step one. And step two was starting to like travel a bit more throughout the United States. That's kind of where I started, like New Orleans, Atlanta, New York, you name it, which is something I didn't really do a lot in undergrad. So like, oh, okay, these other places cool. How much cooler would it be to see fucking the rest of North America? So let's see what's popping up in Toronto a few times, one of my favorite cities, and then going down south to different places in Mexico. And then, like, so these trips are relatively cheap when you're looking at, like, doing that versus flying out to Taiwan and so forth. So essentially what happened was when I stopped work, I had more time. And I think a lot of the issues with travel is more times than not, people either have the time and not the money or the money and not the time. So when I was working, I had some money, but not really the time that I really wanted to like go to these different places. Once I quit my job, I had more than enough time, but not as much money. But I still had some savings. Shout out to the student loan plug. So I got that going on. So a mix of that financially, that's how I've been able to do it. And like, you pick your own classes in school, so you make it flexible to like accommodate these different travel experiences. So I think primarily the way I've been able to do it is through patience in my earlier years post undergrad, saving some money, using some of the student loans, not all of them. I'm not saying go get student loans to travel, but for me it was like either I can maybe take out fewer loans and that'll put me in a better financial position later down the road to have fewer loans to pay off, a little interest, blah, blah, blah. Or I can just take out a reasonable amount, not just go crazy, a reasonable amount, and use that towards travel while I have the time to do so, while I don't have kids, while I have a flexible class schedule, not having to put in vacation time at work and so forth, using that time to try and make my way around the world.
Thank you. And I think that's a very valuable type of discussion to have, especially with young black males who either are or aren't going to college. I want to kind of point that out as well. Mm-hmm. Because for me and Patrick as well, who you know was one of your good friends and your line brother, mm-hmm. and the co-founder of CP Travels, for us, we kind of graduated from college right away and then moved abroad to Taiwan. Mm-hmm. And then we had a job where every year we got 3 months worth of vacation, mm-hmm. and then we were also able to save money by working abroad and not having, you know, bills back at home. We're not having to worry about paying loans and things like mm-hmm. that because we're actually living abroad. So our experience is a little bit different in that every year that we lived abroad, because we were abroad, we were able to travel. And we always tell people, I just actually had a podcast about all the 7 reasons why you should go abroad right after college, mm-hmm. in my opinion, for at least a year or maybe 2 years. Mm-hmm. But I think this is kind of a different way of a different way of kind of approaching frequent travel post undergrad, mm-hmm. because I think I see a lot of benefit, and I think it's great, obviously, and I think, I mean, it's obviously been great for you, mm-hmm. to actually graduate college and actually save money, but more importantly, save money with a plan, mm-hmm. and then have things in your agenda that you want to accomplish before, you know, you enter the 29, 30, 31, 32 stages of your life, where you then maybe want to get married, maybe want to have kids, want to get that car, want to buy that house. But I think actually planning to do things in your 20s as opposed to working in your 20s to try to do things in your 30s and 40s. So I kind of want to get your opinion on that piece of it. So in your opinion, was it better for you? And I know you kind of just said it was, but like, mm-hmm. why do you think it's better for that you did this in your 20s juxtaposed to your 30s?
I think it's all about exposure, right? And like creating that open-mindedness. The sooner the better, because this is just my opinion, and this is with the, I'm making a few assumptions here that like you can actually do that, because some people maybe in their 20s with like multiple kids or constantly maybe a consultant role where they're constantly traveling, so or like it's a bunch of situations that I could go on and on about that may prohibit one from trying to get these experiences sooner rather than later. But I think for me, I'm a fan of not being a late bloomer when it comes to like the travel and the cultural experiences. So, like you get to see the way people live, and it helps you better understand life outside of your home country, or in my case, the U.S. So I think, why do tomorrow what I can do today? Now, if there were a situation where things had to happen or I had to be committed to something else that would have like limit me traveling, then okay, I'll put that on the back burner. I'll try again in my 30s or something like that. And there's nothing wrong with getting started in your 30s or even 40s or even 50s, but in my opinion, if you can do it sooner, then why not? Because tomorrow isn't guaranteed to anyone. So that's kind of my take on it. And kind of going off that and the previous question of how able to do it, it's also about like sacrifice too. Like several pairs of expensive shoes can book you around trip flights to certain places outside of the U.S. if you're wise about how you're shopping for these flights online. So just kind of think about that, or buying or whatever your guilty pleasure is, like whether that's expensive jewelry, expensive shoes, buying out entire sections in a club, like all of that can be aimed towards traveling and getting that experience. Not saying that any of those aforementioned like expenses are inferior. I'm just saying, like, just kind of think about that. If it's like, oh, I don't have the money, but you got the most expensive, you know what I'm saying, Balenciagas, you know what I'm saying, popping off. Right. I don't even know how to spell it, but I know how to pronounce it. So like I think like it's just all about trade-offs. It's essentially, I study economics, so it's all about like I look at things as trade-offs. So it's trade-off. What are you willing to trade off?
What are you willing to sacrifice and give up? So in your opinion, based on your wealth of travel experiences you've had and the people that you've met while you've been abroad and different things that you've done, has travel prepared you or made you better or different in some way for your future career? And if so, how?
At this point, I don't know what my future career will be, but I have an idea of what I want to do. But not having an idea, I know exactly what I want to do, but that's a whole different conversation. But to answer your question, yes, I think it helps with it. It helps with being not only understanding, but also tolerable to different ideas and customs. It's almost like having a diverse train of thought because you've had exposure to more than what's just around you. So you may work with like a coworker from Taiwan or Dubai or some of these places that I've been, that because I've been there, I can maybe have a better introductory conversation with them. Like, hey, I've been where you grew up at, you know, I enjoyed my experience, had a conversation, and then you learn more about that person and how he or she does business, behaves personally, and so forth. So I think you have a wider range of perception that not only has been enhanced from travel in your personal life, but also in your professional life. That's how I see myself. Like, I'm like, I just don't look at what somebody in a workplace or what have you will do just for face value, but also try and understand, okay, what is this person like? What culture is this person connected to? What type of upbringing? And like, actually, it makes you want to get to know somebody. It shows that I'm inquisitive, that I'm always looking to like book the next travel and get like some new exposure to different cultures.
And that's also very, very similar to, you know, just being in America and having a job too, right? Because like when you're in America, you meet someone, you see, one of the first things you say is, hey, what's your name? Where are you from? Right? And if I say, oh, I'm Carl, I'm from New York. I was like, oh, okay, I've been in New York. I know what New York is like. I know people from New York usually are like, or hey, I'm from South Dakota. I've never been there. Can you tell me about it? So I think, you know, when you've been to different places internationally, and I think now what's really realistic for us, especially with living in America, is that a lot of jobs have people from different parts of the world or from different backgrounds or different communities. So the more places you've been and the more things you understand, you have a wider perspective on, the more marketable a person or an individual you are once you walk into a job interview, you walk into, I don't know, a meeting or a phone conference you're having with somebody that's based in China or based in Dubai or Africa or things like that. So I think for me, you know, and this is me giving advice to, you know, young black males, I think it's really, really important to be, I like to call myself an agent of the world. Like, I can talk, or I know of, or I've been a part of like thousands of different experiences that I can actually speak about and talk about that maybe others can't, right? So I think it's a difference between going to Egypt with like a group of 21 people as opposed to traveling to Thailand for 15 days with me and my guys, right? Because that's a different experience we're going to have. We're going to do different things. We're going to interact with people in a different way. And we're going to learn a lot more on the fly as opposed to going with a planned tour group. CP Travels plug one more time.
.com.
So thanks, Mike. I really appreciate your time. I don't want to hold you for too much longer. I know you're a very, very busy man. You're currently at the Kellogg School of Business, right?
Yes, Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern.
Management at Northwestern University, so I know you're really busy with those things. So I guess the last question I have is, or I have two last questions, is your 10-year travel plan, any place that you're really excited or looking forward to traveling to in the next 10 years and that you want to keep on your radar and I keep on mine as well, that you're really, really excited about going to?
Australia, so Sydney and Melbourne, for sure. Colombia. I want to see Colombia. I want to see Argentina. I want to see, there's a couple other places on the tip of the tongue. I want to see Nigeria. I want to see France. I want to see Italy. I want to see Hong Kong. So those are like, and I just named several.
Yeah, it was a lot.
So that's off the top of my head, like things that, places that I definitely want to see. But on the low, like, I'm trying to explore more of the states too, because there's some shit here popping off that I haven't been to. Like, I want to see DC. I'm not seeing Boston, but literally I'm hopping off a plane, hopping in the room, and we go to like some ski resort in Vermont. But I want to see Boston. I want to see Boston. I want to see multiple places in Texas. I want to see San Antonio, Dallas, Austin. I want to see Memphis and Nashville. I kind of want to see Seattle. I'm kind of like, I can't really identify some of the states in the Northwest area, but like, I do want to see Seattle. So I do want to do some exploring, like here in the states as well. So I got a little list popping off. Yeah, I'm eating up food everywhere I go.
Yeah. And I'm definitely, like, if you really want some advice, you know, you may be opposed or maybe for it. I know Patrick is thinking about getting a van, fixing it up, making the van so that it's livable on the inside, and then driving, you know, from California all through Central America and then into South America. So that could actually knock off a lot of things on your list. And you can do it with your bros.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, so just look out for that. We're probably going to be doing that fairly soon, if not, you know, doing a road trip through Africa, which is even more fun. So the last thing I want to leave you with is a little piece of advice for any young black male listeners who are either in college or high school, or no matter how old they are, that are looking for interest in travel. What piece of advice would you leave them with that you wish you had known when you first started out on your journey to start traveling? And then any other advice you like to leave them with as well?
I would say, for starters, like, just get out there. Like, that sounds cliche and shit, but like, get out there. Like, for me, like, I didn't even hop on a plane until a college visit senior year of high school, and that was like fucking up the street or up the air, however you want to put it. So like, just get out there and like just be open. And I think that that's kind of like one and the same. Like, once you become open, like, you're more likely to just kind of get out there and explore, be curious, get out there, be curious, be open minded, and explore. You never know what can come from it. I know so many black people who went abroad, maybe in undergrad, whether it's study abroad or like a 1 month class situation, whatever the case may be, came back like, oh, I want to go to this place, or I want to go back there again. But they would not have known that or been exposed if they never like just jumped out and did it anyway. So definitely just get out there. I'll also add in, be safe. Like, take I'm not saying the world is like just terrible, you know what I mean, because like the world is great in its own special way, but like, just be safe. Keep your eyes and ears open when you go into places, and really just soak it all in. I think the big step is just being open-minded and just getting out there and making it happen in a financially responsible way.
That's really important. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate you taking time out to talk with me. And it's good seeing you. Thank you for celebrating my birthday with me here in Chicago.
Not a problem.
You know, when I was able to make it back. So thanks tuning in, guys. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or feedback, please leave them in the comments. Don't forget to like this podcast, share this podcast, and subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, SoundCloud, and more. I'm Carl, the Black Expat. We out here.